And I think he wanted to come and talk to, he's primarily our Military Affairs Committee supporters. We had a few elected leaders here. We had Mayor Oliver, Mayor Knight, Judge Executive Gillum, Senator Craig Richardson. But outside of that, it was primarily just individuals that have been major supporters of the military in Fort Campbell. Over the years, this man right here has been incredible in his leadership relating to getting things procured for Fort Campbell. And he was primarily here to give us an update of what's going on, sort of from a national standpoint, but also at Fort Campbell. So, and Shannon Lane, I think everybody knows, is our Director of Military Affairs. I don't know if you want to add anything, but we're really appreciative of him wanting to come in and chat with this group.
Yep. What I'll add is, you know, while we have a lot of focus here, because it's home as Fort Campbell and the soldiers that kind of stay here, work, live, and play, you know, Senator McConnell's leadership over the years, not just for Fort Campbell, but for the military in general, has been instrumental in trying to modernize our workforce, our military force, and keeping our country safe. You know, a lot of dedication. As a veteran, another service member, you know, the gratitude we have to him and his dedication to is the DOD, you know, it can never be expressed. So, you know, having him come here, he's always opened his doors to us as the Military Affairs Committee, and has been there and had an open ear and an honest opinion to share on how to get things moved forward, especially for our community and the things that we do. You know, he's always kind of kept his eyes on what's going on at the home front. So we've always appreciated the fact that we are always welcomed into his office, that his staff is always welcome to us to come and voice the concerns that we're seeing for our soldiers, their families, the Fort Campbell community as a whole. You know, for him to take the time to travel down here just to sit with us and in our comfort zone just expresses volumes to his commitment, and we just appreciate it.
Thank you. I'll let you all.
Okay, thank you both.
Okay.
As I think you know, I was leader of my party in the Senate for a long time, longer than anybody in American history. But I thought 18 years was probably enough, and I'm focusing my last 2 years in the Senate principally on defense and foreign policy. And since this facility here is such an integral part of protecting America's interests, let me just take a few minutes and set the international stage. This is the biggest threat right now that we've had since World War II. You've got North Korea, China, Russia, Iran, and Iran's proxies, all communicating with each other. And the one thing they have in common is they hate us. So the question is, what's the best way to deal with this kind of imminent threat? I'm still kind of a Reagan Republican. When Reagan coined the term peace through strength, it wasn't just a saying. It was more than a saying. Let's put aside for a moment the horror of warfare and just look at the cost. At the height of World War II, 37% of our GDP was spent on defense. In Korea, 13%. In Vietnam, 9%. The Reagan buildup, only 6%. So I think the message out of that is, if you look strong, not just say it, but back it up, they're much less likely to mess with you. And so within my party, we're having kind of a debate among isolationists and the rest of us. And we're not quite sure where the president is yet. A lot of the people who work for him are very much in the isolationist camp. On the other hand, he's got the job now, and he's dealing with the reality of the situation. And I'm hopeful tomorrow, his meeting with Putin, that they have a nice talk. But I think at the end, what we need to avoid, not only for Ukraine but for ourselves, is the headline that says Russia wins and America loses. Because what we have that everybody in the world who is either allied with us or democracy, what we have is what they want. And that's why we've been the leader since World War II, and why the world is better off if we continue in that. So, I think this facility here is going to be on the tip of the spear as we try to get us back in a position of, during the four Biden years, we didn't increase defense above inflation. But we're not doing that good this year either. And we need to get on a path to increase our annual defense budget to reflect the challenges that we have, not 10 years ago, but right now and in the future. So that's how I'm spending most of my time the last couple of years. And with that, I'll be glad to see what you want to talk about.
Senator, when you were here a year ago at the Rotary Club meeting in Hopkinsville, August of last year, your message then was very consistent with what you're saying today. But of course, what's changed is who's in the White House.
Yeah.
You mentioned not wanting a headline that says Russia wins, USA loses. What are your thoughts about President Trump's ability to secure an outcome that is desirable for the United States and for Ukraine?
Let me put it this way. I think a deal is not good unless Ukraine signs off on it. In other words, I don't think we ought to impose on them the terms. They're the ones that have to live there. And what Putin is obviously doing is just playing for time, hoping we'll run out of interest. The good news that came out of this is two new countries in NATO, Finland, Sweden, dramatic changes in Germany, which was very pacifist after the war, which is understandable. By the way, the Japanese were too, and they're changing. So our allies are stepping up, and their goal is to get to 5% of GDP. We need to practice what we preach. So the answer to your question is, I think we're not sure yet, but I think as long as the president does not join with Putin and make a deal just for the sake of making a deal.
What about the fact that the Ukrainian president is not going to be present, apparently?
Well, he was on a call with him today, along with, leaders of Germany, France, and England, and has said publicly there won't be another meeting without him in it. So I haven't given up on this administration. I think the president is just trying to decide which way to go. What can I do about it? I can only stress my opinion, which I have quite publicly, and I am in a pretty good position as chair of the Defense Appropriations Subcommittee. We spend about $1 trillion, and even that's not as much as I would like. But to sum up my answer, the parties to the conflict are the only ones who can make a deal that they can live with. And I have this same view with regard to Israel. I think dictating from halfway around the world what the outcome is, I think it's got to be the parties to the conflict, because they live there. Yeah.
When it comes to your plans for strengthening defense and also mentioning Fort Campbell, which is of course nearby, does that plan come with the deployment of more soldiers?
Do you think that the plan includes deployment of more soldiers as you try to increase defense spending?
Well, I don't know if that involves more personnel. I mean, to give you an example, the nature of warfare is changing dramatically. Look at the impact of drones. And you may or may not know that the best drones being made in the world are in Ukraine. The Ukrainians themselves, in the middle of a fight, are adjusting to the warfare of the future. I think this facility here, no matter whether we do more drones or not, is secure. I mean, the 101st and then the Special Forces are indispensable in the warfare of the future, I think.
Senator, what's next for Fort Campbell? You've already come up with appropriations. And the military committee have come up for years successful appropriations for Fort Campbell. What's the future of Fort Campbell? What does that look like, and how do you bring that back to the Senate?
Well, I just had a meeting with the people who give us recommendations about what's needed. And bear in mind, almost none of these are finished in 1 year. But in the current appropriation bill for this year, working on a new tower and a new hangar. And but once you get these started, we ended up having a continuing resolution this year, which is terrible for defense. We're trying to avoid that the next year, which means we get to write into the bills the priorities versus the administration doing whatever it wants to. So on the bigger question of the future of Fort Campbell, I think it's secure, and I think the needs will come along based upon conditions at various times. And one reason we always need to do annual appropriation bills is what I just said. There's almost nothing finished in 1 year. I'm trying to remember the amount we had to appropriate for the middle school. It was stunning. Do you remember that?
I don't remember the number. Do you?
No, but it took a lot, many years. It was over. It's just being finished. It's just opening September. It's like just opening now.
Two weeks.
Yes, 2 weeks.
It had to be the most expensive middle school I've ever heard of. But it took a while. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do my part until I leave the Senate. And whoever comes next will have to pick it up.
Senator, how is your relationship with President Trump, and when was the last time you spoke to him?
Well, a couple of weeks ago, I went to a dinner at the White House with some others who supported the BBB, the Big Beautiful Bill, and we had a cordial conversation, and you might be interested to know what I complimented him on was dropping the bomb on Iran and seeming to have a renewed interest in Ukraine. And I think we'll know more about that after tomorrow. Mm-hmm.
What are the best strengths that you see for our military now, and what are some needs moving forward?
Well, I think that, as I've said, I think we have to convince the American people's representatives that this threat needs to be addressed now, not some other time. I mean, if you look back at the 30s, what was going on? A tariff war and an isolationist attitude. And you may or may not have studied in school what they call themselves. America First. Sound familiar? America First is fine, provided it doesn't mean America all by itself. And the reason I think isolationism makes no sense at all is the one thing all of our adversaries hate is us. You can hide from it, and they still hate you and still come at you. And so we need to get ready, and that's what I'm gonna do my part to try to help move us in that direction. And I hope the president will not take advice from so many of his staff and others that really are pretty isolationist.
Okay, anything else?
I was going to ask about tariffs, actually, since you brought it up. Senator, you and Senator Rand Paul both have been adamant that the tariff war that exists right now, allegedly, reportedly.
We finally found something we agreed on.
You said it, not me. That's fair. I was actually curious, what are the next steps in what we're seeing in the tariff war now, and how does the Senate and the House, for that matter, how do you guys combat that?
Because of legislation passed in the past, the president has almost total authority over this area. Total authority to do what he's doing. So the only way you could stop that would be to pass something he'd have to sign. So I think that what I'm hoping is that I'm wrong and the president's right about the tariff war. I think it's not clear yet, but it is ultimately paid by consumers. And I've been pretty vocal about that. That's something we don't agree on, Trump and myself, on that. You'd be interested to know that usually when you get into a tariff war with a country, the first thing they do is nail bourbon.
Which is, you hit the nail right on the head. That's why I was asking. I mean, Kentucky bourbon is part of it.
Let me mention a study you all may have seen that I think the Herald Leader picked it up from some credible independent group. They looked at all 50 states based on their gross domestic product to see who was the most trade dependent. We were number one.
Kentucky was number one?
Of all the 50 states, based on a percentage of gross domestic product. Number one in export, number three in import. If you look at all the, who would have thought that a state in the middle of America would be so dependent on trade? So I think a lot of politicians have given the American people the idea that trade means export of jobs. Well, it may export some, but it creates a lot more in this country. And I just think trade agreements are typically a good thing for us, and I don't think we've been snookered in every deal that we've made in the past.
Senator, are you going to endorse a candidate in the Republican primary for your seat?
No, ma'am.
Why not?
Why?
All right. Anything else? Did you have one more?
I feel like I did. Sorry.
All right. All right. Well,
oh,
thanks.
Real quick. Okay. Okay. I'm sorry. I know you talked a lot about defense kind of on a national level. Is there anything a part of your plans during your final term dealing specifically with Kentucky?
What specifically to Kentucky are in your plans for your final year and a half?
Well, Fort Campbell's a good example of that. You know, I'll give you one other you'd be interested in, because a lot of farming in Christian County as well. Eddie Melton, the president of the Kentucky Farm Bureau, approached me about a year ago about a problem that many people haven't noticed, which is the loss of farmland, and hoping to somehow slow that down or reverse it. We still have over 70,000 farms in Kentucky, but farmland is getting a lot of the land's not being used for farming. So what Eddie recommended and what I put into the BBB bill, so it's law, is that if you sell your farm to somebody who will commit to farm for 10 years, you have the capital gains rate instead of the higher rate. And that's law. That's something we did get done in 1 year, a tax policy. So that's an example of kinds of things I'm focusing on here. But some of them are just not going to be through by the time I leave. It just, most of these defense-related projects take years.
All right. Thank you all very
much.
Thank you. Senator, thank you.
Good to see you again.